5. It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Main topic that I'll be covering today is the media and 9/11. This is Dennis Cuddy, and that'll be my current News with Views column. Some of it I have been talking about with this audience in the past, some I haven't, but I'm going to run through it fairly quickly, because then I want to get to a different subject, which would be economic warfare, which has been going on in the nation. Basically, two books regarding media and 9/11 have been published recently and have gained a great deal of attention. One is called State of Denial by Bob Woodward of Watergate fame with the Washington Post. And the other one is In the Line of Fire by Pakistan's President Pervez Musharraf. Concerning Woodward's book, the media expressed great surprise at the revelation, so-called, that CIA Director George Tenet on July 10 of 2001 had warned National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice of an impending attack by Al-Qaeda. However, what I'd like to point out is if they had just bothered to read page 55 of my book called September 11, Prior Knowledge, which was published 9 months after 9/11, just 9 months. I think it may have been maybe the first book written on the subject. They would have seen that 2 weeks before July 10th, Tenet, on June 28th of 2001, had written to Condoleezza Rice that, quote, "It is highly likely that a significant Al-Qaeda attack is in the near future, within several weeks," end quote. So they're all agog at this big revelation about July 10, when actually 2 weeks before, Tenet had written to Condoleezza Rice. Years before, in fact, years before 9/11, in my book Secret Records Revealed, if any of you have seen that, you can look toward the back and you'll see that I warned of a possible terrorist attack. After which I said the public might be more willing to give up some of our freedoms in order to have so-called peace and safety. And sure enough, that very afternoon of 9/11, the ABC Washington Post poll, done rather quickly, I thought, showed two-thirds of the public would be willing to do exactly that. As I've mentioned in previous programs, there's this sort of probe, this psychological probe. They'll try something and then probe through a poll, whatever, the people, to see if they're willing to tolerate it. Anyway, in responding to the Woodward News, so-called news, about this July 10th, 2001 meeting between Tenet and Rice, the AP, Associated Press, interviewed former Attorney General John Ashcroft, who said on October 2 of this year, just a few days ago, that he should have been notified of any such report dealing with a pending attack on the U.S. But once again, if the AP and Ashcroft had bothered to read page 47 of my book, September 11, Prior Knowledge, they would have seen that 6 weeks before 9/11, Attorney David Shippers, you may recall he was Chief Investigative Counsel for the U.S. House Judiciary Committee during the Clinton impeachment process, that he, Shippers, had tried to warn Ashcroft that he had received information from some of Ashcroft's own FBI agents and others that a terrorist attack was being planned for Lower Manhattan, specifically. You know, they say, well, we didn't have any actionable intelligence. Well, here's some information as to where the attack would occur. Sure enough, it did. Unfortunately, lower-level Justice Department officials blocked shippers from getting that information to Ashcroft. You don't recall any of them being fired, do you, for that mess-up? Well, anyway, moving along.
It's so interesting, Dennis, that the acting head of the FBI at that time testified before the 911 commission that he repeatedly tried to tell Ashcroft about the imminent attack, Muslim attack, and Ashcroft said, I don't want you to talk to me anymore about that. And I don't know if you recall that, but this has been brought up many times. Ashcroft said, I do not want to hear that. And then when Ashcroft was asked about it, he said, I never said that. So either Ashcroft is lying, or the head, acting head of the FBI is lying. Why would Ashcroft not want to get the information? Maybe it's because he knew it was about to happen. That's why he was flying on private jets. But the last thing they would want the American people to know is that they knew ahead of time. And maybe a lot of this is play acting simply to keep us so confused we really can't think effectively about what happened that day. And we're supposed to believe that they knew it was going to happen. They didn't intervene to stop the terrorists. But they knew who all the terrorists were this last weekend on CBS. They talked about the terrorist watch list, which has been put together by the FBI, where they took the names of everybody they knew as a potential terrorist. They put it on a list. And a lot of the names there really were redundant. They were the names of, well, somebody named Robert Johnson. They interviewed 20 people named Robert Johnson who can't get on planes now. But what was so interesting is on that list is the name of 15 of the 19 hijackers, taken from all of the information the government had. So obviously, they had the names of these people before 911, because they certainly wouldn't have put the names on, you know, after 911, because supposedly they're all dead. Something's terribly wrong with the story we've been told. You're absolutely right.
And like I mentioned before, Kristen Breitweiser, in her testimony, which the press diligently ignored, she says her testimony, when her husband was killed in 9/11, she said, how do you know the contents of a conversation between two of these terrorists, which occurred 2 weeks beforehand, unless you were monitoring them? I mean, you know, Echelon and Iridium are really sophisticated, but how do you know these two specific terrorists and what they're saying to each other 2 weeks beforehand unless you were sort of at least focusing some attention on them?
We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Dennis Cuddy here at the American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
This morning is our good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy, who of course had taught at the university level, who was in the Department of Education, testified before Congress, but certainly in my estimation he's the finest researcher we have now, and of course unfortunately most of his books are out of print, although he's written many, many books, and we are currently trying to get his book Secret Records Revealed back in print, and we'll tell you more about that at the end of the program. But these books are important, and you need to have them in your library. And specifically, Secret Records Revealed, we can get that in print, while we'll try to get the others. But please pick up your story there, Dr. Getty, because it's so obvious that people in government knew something was coming down. They knew a lot of details about it, and they're all being deceptive. And when government officials lie, why then can we believe anything that we're being told? Please pick up the story.
Sure. Just before the break, I had mentioned how did we know those specific conversations of two of the terrorists 2 weeks prior to 9/11, unless we were monitoring them. But picking up on what you said about the acting director of the FBI, there were a number of these people who were messing up, and they all got promoted. Dale Watson, had 2 or 3 years prior to 9/11, assured Congress that, and he was head of the counterterrorism part of the FBI, assured Congress that, we're actively monitoring people and any possible terrorist attacks. We're communicating with the CIA, no problem there. We have this working group that's ongoing. And so Congress says, well, I guess our bases are covered. Then come 9/11, say, well, golly, there was this theoretical wall between the CIA and FBI about sharing domestic and international information and so forth, the exact opposite of Watson said. So what'd they do, this guy? They fire him? No. Made him a promotion, made him permanent head of anti-terrorism efforts. Same thing with Michael Chertoff. Michael Chertoff, right after 9/11, you had Robert Wright, the FBI agent, come forward saying, look, I was following the money trail of these people. If they hadn't taken me off of them following this money trail, we could have stopped 9/11. And what was Chertoff's response at that time? Said, oh, we don't want to hear about Wright's conspiracy theories. So what happens to Chertoff? He gets fired? Make him a big shot. Put him there in charge of Homeland Security. And of course, he did a really great job with FEMA's, which is under him, regarding Katrina, didn't he? And did he get fired again? No, we're not gonna. He's, sort of that Peter principle or whatever you want to call it. You rise to your level of incompetence. But anyway, picking up with what shippers had tried to do, what I did was I sent my book September 11th Prior Knowledge to David Shippers, and on September 6th of 2002, just a year shy of the first anniversary, he wrote me a nice personal letter saying he had read and thoroughly enjoyed the book September 11th Prior Knowledge, and he says, quote, your indictment of the intelligence community in general, the FBI in particular, is right on the money, and he went on to say some kind things as well. But anyway, the media that I've been talking about regarding their forgetfulness about Tenet 2 weeks before all this current brouhaha over the July 10th meeting had actually written, not talked to, but written DeLisa Rice about an imminent terrorist attack within several weeks. They also, the media, demonstrated great surprise at another Woodward, quote, revelation, quote, that our government's intelligence regarding Iraq portended a worse scenario than President Bush had related to the American public. Once again, though, if they had read my sequel to September 11 Prior Knowledge, the sequel titled Cover Up, Government Spin a Truth, and that was written before the Iraq War began, they would have read on page 76 of that book what Saddam's secret strategy would be. Also, one of the top aides of Paul Bremer, who went over there, I don't want to give his name out without his permission. He had, Bremer, of course, was head of the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq. This fellow, who was one of his top aides, called me before going there, said, what should I expect? Tell me, what to watch out for. And I told him the background about how we had messed up the intelligence or what Saddam's strategy would be. But I said, never mind that. Your real problem is going to be the sectarian violence between Shiites and Sunnis. And one reason I mentioned that, and I've mentioned it before on this program, but I'll just really quickly mention it again, is unlike the U.S. where there's the so-called separation of church and state, these people don't have that. I mean, the religion is an extremely important part of their life, and so you have Islamic law actually being enforced there. And so it's really important as to whether this is going to be Shiite Islamic law or Sunni Islamic law, and it's sort of like in this nation, if you had Protestants forced to live under Catholic religious law, or vice versa, Catholics forced to live under Protestant religious law. That'll give you a flavor of what the problem is there, and so the violence continues, and we have what I predicted, this sort of sectarian violence growing. And then, once again, the national media missed all of this information, even though I had faxed it to a number of prominent reporters. They just sort of, shrugged their shoulders, and there's a reason for that, but I'm just recounting what happened. And so the next book that I had mentioned at the top of the program was In the Line of Fire by the Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf. And once again, the media was astounded to learn that Secretary of State Colin Powell's right-hand man, whose name is Richard Armitage, immediately after 9/11 had threatened Pakistan with being bombed back to the Stone Age if they didn't cooperate with us against the Taliban. President Bush, the headline said, was taken aback, quote, when hearing of Musharraf saying this in his Musharraf's interview with 60 Minutes about his new book. So what I was wondering is where have these people been? In my book, again, the September 11 and so forth, I have this quote from the L.A. Weekly. An article is titled Unholy Ends, and it was written shortly after 9/11. It's by Ali Ahmad Rind, R-I-N-D, and he reported that Armitage told Pakistan Intelligence Chief, that's the ISI is its abbreviation, his name's General Mahmoud Ahmad, that, quote, the choice is up to you. Help us and breathe in the 21st century along with the international community, or be prepared to live in the Stone Age, end quote. So, what's President Bush doing? Is he lying? Is he insulated? Are they keeping this information, which is even in my little book easily seen from him? I mean, what's he doing? Chopping wood down in Texas or something with his month-long vacations? So anyway, then we come to this recent ABC miniseries, The Path to 9/11, which is, if any of you saw that, it's really more important for what it did not reveal than what it did reveal. For example, it didn't reveal a June 2001 Reuters report that it was actually going to be a race. This is a Muslim reporter had interviewed Osama bin Laden, and he said it's a race between the U.S. and Osama as to who would attack first. Secondly, this miniseries didn't reveal that the very next month, July 2001, there was a backgrounder by Bill Gertz, and it appeared in a number of places, even Northwest Airlines flight attendants website. If you were a flight attendant, you could see this, about Al-Qaeda having a plot to hijack airliners and crash them into the World Trade Center, Pentagon, and so on. Thirdly, it didn't reveal that after President Bush was briefed on August 6, 2001, that Al-Qaeda wanted to strike inside the U.S., it didn't reveal the attacks on 9/11 were easily preventable. And I've been over this in the past. I'll just mention all you had to do was have an Apache Longbow helicopter with its rockets and missile and 30-millimeter chain gun on alert at a New York City fort. They got at least three forts there, Fort Hamilton and a couple of others. So all of this just seemed to be news to the media, and the ABC miniseries missed it. But what's most important, perhaps, about what they didn't reveal was what I briefly alluded to earlier about Pakistan. Pakistan's a real key on this. You have now some investigations about Daniel Pearl and what he was doing, and actually the thing that he was really doing, sort of undercover, which, you know, was very dangerous. I don't know why he did it. But he was trying to find out this connection between the CIA and Pakistan's ISI in all of this. And one of the reasons was that the media had been informed that the Pakistani general I mentioned earlier, Mahmoud Ahmad, had $100,000 wired to Mohammed Atta shortly before 9/11. But backing up, to give a little background on this, you need to remember certain things. For example, you remember just a couple of minutes ago I mentioned about this June Reuters report. Okay. In June of 2001, same month, a federal 31-month probe, that's a long one, you know, 31 months, 2.5 years, it was called Operation Diamondback, ended at that time with the arrest of two arms brokers working for the Pakistani ISI. Now, they were caught finalizing a deal to sell missiles, nuclear components, and other weaponry to terrorists linked to Osama. Now, this is about the same time, June, that this general, Mahmoud Ahmad, visited the U.S. in 2001. He had come before, but, you know, remember, same time, May, June, 2001, all this is happening together. Now, when the probe started back early, July of 99, there's actually a tape, a videotape at New York's, it's a trendy place, Tribeca Grill it's called, and there was a probe there, this Operation Diamondback, and there's this Pakistani operative sitting there. His name's R.G. Abbas, and he's working for the ISI and the Taliban. All right, they're talking with this undercover guy named Randy Glass, and there's, you know, surrounding the table is some other FBI guys, you know, incognito, but they're listening. The thing's bugged and being videotaped. And as they get up and they're walking out, they're sort of walking out toward the door, going outside, Abbas points to the World Trade Center saying, quote, "Those towers are coming down," end quote. Which is sort of a fulfillment of what Randy Youssef had mentioned earlier. Well, the FBI had told this informant, Randy Glass, on August 6th of 2001, Glass is telling, relating what they said to the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Now remember, August 6th, 2001, same day President Bush is getting this briefing about Al-Qaeda wanting to strike inside the U.S., okay, so Glass is reporting to this paper, and the paper says he, Glass, was with the boss at the grill because Glass, quote, was told by federal agents that the case had become a matter of national security with potentially thousands of lives at risk, end quote. Now, remember, don't look at this in terms of now. Remember, you're before 9/11. You're August 6th. The president's getting briefed. The South Florida Sun Sentinel, before 9/11, has this newspaper report with this operation, and these FBI agents, before 9/11, are telling Glass he needs to do this thing, in which this fellow Abbas says the towers are coming down because it's national security and thousands of lives at risk. So this idea, you know, that the FBI was just sort of dumbfounded and caught off guard and didn't know diddly, is a lot of hooey. If you just look at this thing, which I reiterate, before 9/11, so this isn't like looking backwards. Okay, the ISI was created by bin Laden's protector, the Taliban. And not long after that first visit in 2001 by General Ahmad in June...
The Taliban, the ISI created the Taliban, is what you're
right.
saying.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, the ISI created bin Laden's protector, the Taliban. The Taliban was protecting bin Laden there in Afghanistan. And so not long after the General Ahmad's visit in May-June of 2001, the general has $100,000 wired to 9/11 ringleader Mohammed Atta. And General Ahmad, shortly after he has this wired to Mohammed Atta, he returns to the U.S. a week before 9/11, September 4th. And, you know, I mean, you just don't fly around the world sort of, you know, every 2 or 3 months, you know, frolicking around. You're head of your nation's intelligence. So he must be coming back because there's some new information or something really important he has to bring back personally. or else he wants to get in touch with Muhammad Atta, who he's wired the $100,000 to. Well, picking up on that linkage there, Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman in Brooklyn was behind the 1993 bombing, and we'll continue after.
Oh, we'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Dennis Cutting here at the American Freedom Network.
Discover Magneticare Cell Activating Liquid Complex and RX Magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting Magneticare Liquid Complex, cream, or RX Magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net. Find out how BioSuperfood has helped thousands of people everywhere, providing health benefits for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, liver disorders, osteoarthritis, glaucoma, depression, allergies, nervous system disorders, and much more. BioSuperfood is making an impact on how people everywhere approach health and nutrition. Join Dr. Roland Thomas every second Friday at 2 p.m. on the Danette Daniels Show, KHNC 1360 AM.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply has something new. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval. With a state-of-the-art ventilation systems. Yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133. 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
All veterans, I'm speaking with Jamie LaRue of Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866. Jamie, what benefits help a vet buy a home?
The Veterans Administration has a no-down payment home loan programs for veterans, reservists, and enlisted personnel.
So veterans learn more about your benefits. Call Jamie at Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866.
Network, and our guest this morning, Dr. Dennis Cutty. Please pick up the story there, Dennis.
Sure. What I was saying before the break was that Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman in Brooklyn, who was behind the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, and 2 days after the arrival of General Ahmad on September 4th, 2001 in this country, a high school freshman also in Brooklyn, so you get the juxtaposition there, this Sheikh in Brooklyn, 1993 World Trade Center bombing, now 2 days after General Ahmad arrives here on September 4th in Brooklyn, 2 days after that, September 6th, a high school freshman in Brooklyn who had recently immigrated from Pakistan told his class that the World Trade Center, quote, won't be standing there next week, end quote. Now remember, next week. So, I mean, this isn't even as general as what Abbas had said about those towers are coming down. He's saying next week. You know, I mean, he could have said next month, next year, sometime in the future, who knows, whenever, but he says next week. Okay, now, right after September 11th, of course, everybody gets really interested in all this that's happened. And so the federal agents interviewed this boy and his brother, who now are sort of changing their tune, you know, ha, 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 trying to laugh it off. And the father was returning that day, you know, not 2 days later, 2 days before, that day, from Pakistan. So the father comes in, and he sees these federal agents interviewing his children. He really gets mad at him. He chastises the agents for what he calls, quote, harassing his children. And then he returns right away to Pakistan. You know, he just leaves the country back to Pakistan. Okay, once again, it's important, just like that August 6th South Florida Sun Sentinel column about Randy Glass and this Abbas fellow and the FBI saying thousands of lives at stake, which is an interesting figure, thousands of lives, 3,000 were killed on that day, September 11th. Just like that article, which was August 6th beforehand, the day before September 11th, a Pakistani newspaper called The News reported that General Ahmad's, quote, week-long presence in Washington has triggered speculation about the agenda of his mysterious meetings. That's their word, mysterious meetings at the Pentagon and National Security Council. So what I did was I filed a Freedom of Information request with the Department of Defense and was told there was, in fact, a document regarding one of the high-level Pentagon officials about whom I had inquired that said, quote, here's information on your upcoming meeting with General Ahmad. Remember, this is before 9/11. On that same day, September 10th, according to Newsweek, in their online report of September 13th and then their written edition of Newsweek on September 24th, they wrote that, quote, a particularly urgent warning may have been received the night before the attacks, that's the night of September 10th, and a group of top Pentagon officials suddenly canceled travel plans for the next morning, not the next week, not the next day, not the next afternoon, next morning, apparently because of security concerns, end quote. Now, why that's interesting is that same night, September 10th, San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown, and we've mentioned this before, so I'm just mentioning again to show the connection. He was to fly from San Francisco to New York City the morning of the 11th. Remember, he's not going to, you know, to Dallas or Philadelphia, to New York City the morning of 9/11. So he receives a call around 10 p.m. at night. Remember, the Newsweek story about they may have received a warning the night before the attacks. Okay, so here he is, same night, around 10 p.m., warning him and all Americans about the air travel. Watch out for air travel. You know, something's in the works. Now, when I talked to people after that, they sort of felt, and Mayor Brown sort of sloughed this off as well. He'd gotten these calls before. He's just, if you take him at his word, he gets this call from some security people, warning, yeah, I've had him before. The problem is, everybody assumed this was just a routine FAA warning like ones he had received before. But what I did was I filed a Freedom of Information request with the FAA, and finally, they wrote back and said no. They issued no warnings from September 2 to September 11th. 2001. Now, it may have been before, but I was sort of focusing on the week and a half period. So we know that, you know, there were no warnings issued there. So somebody's calling him up at late at night, not because of some, you know, last-minute FAA warning that went out. There had to be some other source of information that these people had that they warned him. So what happened is a question I ask. And what I do is, because I've run into trouble with certain reporters, every time I mention this, they say, oh, I don't believe in conspiracy theories. And my response is, look, you could, and I'm not saying this is what happened, I said, you could create a scenario in which all of these guys are good guys. And I'll just go through this. It may be, could it be that General Ahmad was asked by the CIA, and they work closely with the ISI, to infiltrate Al-Qaeda, which he did, and the $100,000 was, you know, just a mechanism to try and gain their trust. Is it possible that he learned a little bit? You know, they didn't trust him entirely, but he's putting up $100,000, so he got a little bit of information, a non-date specific attack for the week of 9/11. Let's say that, you know, let's say that's all he knew. He didn't know that the planes would be, you know, crashed into buildings and so on. So anyway, he's got this information that the week of 9/11, something involving hijacked planes is going to happen, so he comes here on the 4th of September to warn us. Okay, now let's say that he warns these top Pentagon officials, and what they do is they try and confirm it, and let's say the night of September 10th, they get confirmation that the impending attack is that week, and so these guys, to cover their own rear ends, say, well, you know, we don't want to be any hijacked plane, so let's cancel our reservations for the morning of 9/11. And, you know, not to put any bad motives, let's say that they're talking and say, well, golly, if we're, you know, not going to have our airplane flights, maybe we should warn the public. And they say, well, I don't know. You know, it's the whole week. If we say sometime this week, you know, what happens? The whole economy shuts down. People start canceling hotel reservations and meetings and everything. It's just, you know, don't want to send the nation into a panic, a nationwide panic. And what if, you know, what if we're wrong? And then somebody says, what if they, you know, hijack the plane and fly to Cuba? So what? Big deal. And so the point is, I'm not saying that's what happened. My point in making that is, if that's what happened, it seems curious to me that the press and media, including that miniseries 9/11, didn't even seem interested in finding that out, you know, if it was something that was perfectly logical like that. So, once again, the media and 9/11 have been, as far as I'm concerned, a big failure. And it's not just that. In terms of Pakistan, the media do not seem to be interested at all in finding out why on July 7th, 2005. You remember the London bombing occurred July 7th last year. They don't seem interested in finding out why the July 7th London bombing ringleader, his name is Harun Rashid Aswat, fled to Pakistan the day before the bombing on July 6th of 2005. But when he gets there and is arrested, he's released. Within 24 hours of his arrest, he's released. Same thing. And, you know, Pakistan's supposed to be our great ally in all of this, but the media seems to be totally disinterested in tracking any of this stuff down. And like I said at the beginning of the program, I wanted to race through that because some of it I've mentioned this audience in the past, and some of it I hadn't. But when we come back for the break, I'll pick up a different subject.
We'll be back in just a moment here with our good friend, Dr. Dennis Pettigrew.
To order your cassette copy of this program, call the American Freedom Network at 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Veterans, I'm speaking with Jamie LaRue of Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866. Jamie, who is actually qualified to get a VA loan?
The general rule is 2 years active duty service or 6 years in the reserves. Shorter time requirements during wartime service.
So veterans, learn more about your benefits. Call Jamie at Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Well, I understand back here at the American Freedom Network, Dr. Kelly is talking about Pakistan, and you know, right now the Taliban are organizing in Pakistan and then moving into Afghanistan, moving north into Afghanistan, and they're killing our soldiers, they're killing NATO soldiers, and then they fade back into Pakistan. And when people say, look, we control, Afghanistan, why don't we simply spray the opium fields? Oh, we couldn't do that because the Taliban are there, and they might shoot down our helicopters or shoot down the spray planes. Oh, we can't stop the growth of opium there in Afghanistan. That 95% of the opium in Europe comes from Afghanistan. But who is funding the Taliban? Who is protecting the Taliban? Why, it's the Pakistani intelligence. And who's funding Pakistani intelligence? Why, we are. And it's like Vietnam all over again. People could not believe that during the Vietnam War, the United States was funding the Soviets, who were funding the North Vietnamese and providing with weapons that were used to kill our boys. When are the American people going to wake up? Go ahead, Dennis.
Okay, well, I wanted to, like I said, the top of the show, go through that quickly, as quickly as I could, and then briefly get on another subject, and I'll just, because there's only about 5 minutes, so I'll race through what I see as an economic war going on. The public really isn't aware of it, but in this country, and I'll try to run through this history very quickly, Lincoln at the time of the Civil War realized that there was a conspiracy. They said the Buchanan cabinet before him, and the long plan, and I've mentioned this about the Gulf Empire, the powers that be in Europe didn't like these independent Americans. They wanted to split the country into two parts and have a Gulf Empire of the southern states, the planters, who were only about 7% of the population, but they owned all of the slaves, and to link up with the Caribbean nations and Mexico, Central America, and have unlimited, as they said, Negroes producing unlimited cheap cotton. And so there's this long-range plan, and Lincoln thought that was an even bigger threat than the Civil War itself. Shortly thereafter, you have Cecil Rhodes, who was one of these elitists, and forming his secret society of the elect, and flowing from his plan, I've mentioned before about Percy Corbett's book, describing how they would have regional economic arrangements. He was a Rhodes Association of Helpers member. Rhodes had these two groups, Circle of Initiates, Association of Helpers members. And so they were going to link up regional economic arrangements. Moving up into the 60s, young Richard Gardner is at the State Department, CFR member. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He's been placed there on purpose, just like Cecil Rhodes' plan. And starts writing various issue papers in the early 70s. He's writing about undermining national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece. And he talks about GATT also in terms of fulfilling that. That's at the same time this so-called conservative, Richard Nixon, opens the door to China, even though everybody knows they've slaughtered millions of their own people, lots of human rights violations. It doesn't matter. No, business comes first. And so, moving quickly on up to Clinton's day, Clinton originally says, oh, those human rights violations with China, I wouldn't have most favored nation status. But once he gets in, he says, oh, yeah, changed my mind. And by the way, I'm pointing Richard Gardner as ambassador to Spain, from which we get Javier Solana, who becomes the political head of NATO and is now one of the most powerful people in the world. At the same time, you have NAFTA and GATT going through. And what NAFTA did was pit industry against industry. They bought off, that's a term that characterizes it, enough senators so they get 51. You know, we'll exclude the tomato crop of Florida or whatever, until they got the 51 senators, which really pitted certain industries against other industries. In other words, manufacturing industries in the central part of the country, Ohio, Michigan, and so forth, they could be sacrificed as long as they got NAFTA through. And, of course, with right after that, GATT, with its World Trade Organization, which literally has told our Congress what laws are okay and what have to be changed. And so what's happened to our jobs? Manufacturing jobs have gone overseas. The high-tech jobs, which is what we are supposed to be educating our youngsters for, which we have not done, have been either outsourced to places like India, or they've increased the number of HB1 visas, which brings the high-tech people into this country to perform the jobs. The only other aspect of the economy, the service workers, they've been shuttled over to guest workers. They call them temporary visas, but one temporary person is replaced by another temporary person, which makes the job permanent. in effect. So all of these service industry jobs, fast foods, construction, so forth, are going to them. And so what you have really is an arbitraging of labor. People say, oh, Americans can compete economically with anybody. That's not what we're doing. It's not like we're competing against Chinese technology and money. What American companies have done is they have sent their technology and their money to China. It's just that they're arbitraging the labor of Bangladesh and China so that all of these nations, look at it this way, look at it as all the individual nations of the world, the lower, you know, third world countries, are the 51st state of the U.S., except in this 51st state, whether it's Bangladesh, China, you know, Pakistan, wherever it is, in those countries, there's no health regulations, no environmental regulations. They can have, you know, slave labor. That's basically what this is. The multinational corporations have changed foreign countries into 51st states of the U.S. So what you have in terms of this regional economic arrangement is the Security and Prosperity Partnership linking Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. This undercuts our longshoremen and teamsters, Americans, who get, you know, $140,000 a year with $10,000 a year Mexican laborers coming into Lauro Cardenas, that deep water port, the Chinese containers, not inspected until they get up to Kansas City. And so what you have is the same sort of process, although the federal government's denying it, as Jean Monnet planned for Europe. You know, they start with this economic agreements and now they don't call it treaties, don't want treaties, they're regulations or agreements or executive orders, which don't have to pass, you know, congressional scrutiny. And so what they've done is created a situation in which, at least Newt Gingrich was right about this. He says, if we're going to get into NAFTA, look, this process is not going to be unraveled. It's not like, oh my goodness, we made a mistake, let's get out. What you have is a whole process where you have these major companies, American companies, heavily invested overseas. And so if all of a sudden you say, well, that was a mistake, let's end it, what happens is all of those investments go down the toilet. And what you would have is a lot of people in this country who have stock in the 401ks in these companies, their stocks, their retirement funds would plunge. And so what you have here, like I said, is an economic war. You have an older generation interested in keeping its 401ks and so forth and taking, you know, Social Security payments as promised. But all the time, the younger generation is going to be stiff, and they're going to turn back on us, and it's going to be a real war.
Thanks very much, Dennis. God bless you.
God bless you.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. And we'll be right back to wrap up this morning's program on American Freedom Network.
Larry Adams here, always fighting chaos. I invite you to listen to my fun and informative shows Sunday afternoons at 2, often with fun and informative guests, reminding you to please support all of our sponsors and let them know you heard it here. And encourage others to advertise with 1360, the voice of the lion. I would love to meet with any potential advertisers and sponsors. See you Sunday afternoons at 2 for What Now with Larry Adams.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
Well, I always enjoy them. Tremendous amount of information, and I can assure you it's all accurate. Now, we do carry Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, Cover Up, which goes into the background of the cover up of the truth about the cause of 9-1-1. A lot of people might forget 9-1-1. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't forget it because it was a watershed event. Because this is leading us towards a disastrous, catastrophic war with the Muslim world. Everything is being done to get Americans to hate the Muslims and to get the Muslims to hate America. That's how you get a war going. And the only way we're going to stop it is to get information out and let the people know what's going on. If you're interested in getting Dr. Dennis Cuddy's other books that we carry, The Road to Socialism, his book Cover Up, his book on mental health screening, and a pamphlet on mental health screening, and his book on the timeline for education to the New World Order, all available from Radio Liberty. But what we really need and want to do would be to get his book, Secret Records Revealed, back in print, and if some of you can help, we'll appreciate it. You can get a case of his books, Secret Records Revealed, for $149.95. The book is almost 300 pages. It has an index. It has an update to bring it up to date. And if we can get enough people to pledge $149.95 for a case of the books, why, we'll go ahead and get the thing back in print. So if you're interested in helping, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and we get your Visa card. We don't bill it until we've got enough people pledged to do it, and if we can do that, why, we will get his book in print. All of his books are important, but The Secret Records Revealed is one of the most important books, and I keep it by my side all the time when I'm doing my research. And it'll even be more important now that we have the index for it. And then again, we'd also hope many of you will go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. That you remember, we are having an all-day seminar on October 29th, the end of this month. It's a Sunday. And we're bringing in Constance Cumby from Michigan, Chris Pinto from Southern California. He actually created the video, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And you can't understand anything going on today unless you understand there have always been, and there still exist today, secret societies that are, of course, are energized by those spiritual entities that bridge the gap between the visible world and the invisible world. There really is another dimension. There is a spiritual battle going on today for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. You can help us, of course, by getting our books, videos, four tape sets. We have four tape sets on everything from the true story of O.J. Simpson, which you've never been told, to an understanding of nutrition and what's going on in the world today, of what happened on September 11th, the story you have never been told. And, of course, we hope many of you will go to our website. You'll encourage other people to get the information. And then join us in this epic struggle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-